Welcome to the Sleepy Cues podcast, where Linda Schmulowitz
and Jessica Suwiki will share answers to all your questions related to your children's sleep and parenting of young children. We are both certified gentle sleep coaches.
Thanks for tuning in to hear the answers to the many questions that come up with the families we work with. Hi there, this is Linda Schmulowitz, owner of Sleep Tight Consultants. And today on the Sleepy Cues podcast, we're going to be talking about the two-year-old sleep regression. So two-year-olds are often a much bigger challenge than parents are often anticipating when their child's a baby. Often we think to ourselves, okay, this newborn stage, this baby stage, this is when it's really hard. It's so unpredictable. And by the time we get into toddlerhood, everybody will know what they're doing, and this is going to be so much easier. And yes, to some degree, some of that is true. I always think of it as the baby and newborn stage is really about management. It's about, you know, just making sure your child's needs are met and kind of establishing the basics. But now when you get into toddlerhood, now this is where it's about behavior and it's about limit setting, and things definitely can become much more challenging at this point. I remember several years ago, I was giving a workshop, and I always ask how old everybody's children are. And so I was kind of going through, you know, who has a 0 to 6 month old, 6 to 12, blah, blah, blah. And then I got to the 2 year olds, and so many parents raised their hands when they had 2 year olds. They had so many questions. And I said to the parents of babies, I was like, I said, look around. Look at those parents of those two-year-olds. They are tired. And now you can see how things truly can get much, much harder. So there are a number of things that I want to address in our conversation here today. And really, it's because there are a lot of different behaviors that can start to arise as your child is hitting two. And for some children, this may not be right at 2 years old. It could be, you know, 22 months that these things are happening. It could be just over two. It's not necessarily your child hits their two-year-old birthday and then all of a sudden everything starts to deteriorate. So I'm going to talk first about what's happening as far as brain development goes for your child at this age. And then we're going to get into all of the big behaviors that many parents will start to see when their child is hitting two. So these are things like nap boycotts, a lot of bedtime stalling could be starting, not wanting a parent to leave the room, and what I refer to as callbacks. So as far as brain development goes, your child's brain is developing at the fastest rate between 0 and 3 years old. So their imagination is really taking off. This is where your child may be starting to talk about ghosts, monsters, witches, shadows, scary things, especially if they have an older sibling or they're in daycare in a setting where there are a lot of older children. If they're hearing about things that might be scary for a younger child, or if, say, your child is a third or a fourth child and maybe your family is watching a lot of shows or movies that are not necessarily appropriate for their age. Trust me, it happens all the time. Third and fourth and many farther subsequent children do survive, but it happens. You know, you're trying to make a lot of people at varying developmental stages happy, and it often happens that, especially with all of the things that you can be watching these days, it can be scary for a younger child, or a younger child may be watching things that are not necessarily developmentally appropriate for them, and those things can be scary. And then as a result, their imagination is really taking off around that. So this is also an age where your child might ask for a nightlight because they legitimately might be becoming afraid of the dark. I always really caution parents, it's really important that when you're asking your two-year-old questions, you're not asking leading questions. Because if your child starts to act a little bit different at bedtime and you say, oh, is it the dark? Are you scared of the dark? Then pretty soon your child's going to say, yes, oh, yes, it is. That's what's going on. And next thing you know, you fed them that information and it's hard to back away from that. So your child is working really hard to understand all of the things that are happening in the world around them. Their world is essentially exploding. Their speech ability is really taking off. They're starting to develop an emotional awareness. They have body control. They're developing empathy and logical reasoning. Those are all things that are controlled by their prefrontal cortex. But unfortunately, this part of the brain is not fully developed for your toddler, and so they are still pretty limited in their ability to do all of the things that they want to do and control all of the things that they want to control. As a result of things really exploding in this way, all sorts of things around them that can be familiar are going to be really comforting, because when things are changing so rapidly, comfort and familiarity is really going to provide that level of comfort. This is why your two-year-old likes to read the same books over and over again, or likes to watch the same shows over and over again. It's really tremendously comforting. For some two-year-olds, they might be having a language explosion. Other two-year-olds might still be really working on those verbal skills. And so it can be frustrating when they have so many things that they want to communicate, but they can't actually articulate those things. And so that can often lead to a lot of tantrums in many cases. For children who do have words that are starting to emerge, you would think to yourself, well, this is super helpful. You can use your words to tell me what you want. I would argue that sometimes those words aren't as helpful as you would like them to be, because your two-year-old now is going to be telling you all over the place what they want you to do. And in the beginning, you think to yourself, okay, well, that's helpful. Now I know what you need. But it also means that this is where you have to start developing some boundaries, because you don't actually have to do all of the things that your two-year-old wants you to do or meet every single one of those needs. You will have to acknowledge those things, but this is where you may need to start to set those limits. So your child really also does not have the advanced cognition to understand all of the things that you may be trying to communicate to them. Your toddler's also not a rational being. So, you know, trying to rationalize with them, trying to, you know, talk your toddler into doing something is not generally going to work all that well for you or for them. And so all of this increased cognition leads them to want to control everything around them. And one of the things that your child may be starting to want to control are things like bedtime. And so this is where you may start to get all sorts of new requests that are coming up, wanting to read more and more books in many cases, lots of power struggles could be happening. And really, it's important that at this point, you are giving your child choices about things that they can make choices about. So for instance, as part of the bedtime routine, what can your child choose? Can you say, here are two pairs of pajamas, which pair do you want to wear? Here are two toothbrushes, which one do you want to use? The more you can give your toddler control, the more they are part of the process, the more they can be in charge of something. Then when there are things that they can't be in charge of, like deciding when it's time to go to sleep or getting into bed, then those things tend to be a little bit easier for them to handle. So in the sort of list of all of the things that come up when you're talking about two-year-old sleep regressions, one of the things that comes up pretty quickly is a lot of two-year-olds will start boycotting their nap. Naps can start to get harder and harder to do. Some of it has to do with the fact that at this age, your child is not quite as exhausted as they might have been before when it's time for a nap. One thing I would just look at, especially depending on the timing of your child's nap, is if it's really too early, that can certainly make it hard for them to nap. So a lot of times when children go to one nap, that nap is at noon. But by 2 years old, they're easily not ready to go down for that nap until at least 1 o'clock, and sometimes a little bit later. Your two-year-old really does still need a nap. They need a nap until they're somewhere between 3 and 5 years old. So I wouldn't give up. Even if it seems like your toddler's done with a nap, they still need that downtime. Even if it means that it's, you know, time where they're not sleeping, still they could be in their crib, hopefully, as we'll talk about in just a minute, and just not having all sorts of stimulation coming at them and having just some quiet time. That's still even a break for the grown-ups around them, so there's benefit in that as well. Most of the time, two-year-olds will go back to napping. One thing that I have seen happen is when they don't take a nap, then they go to bed super early, which certainly they need an early bedtime. In some cases, I've seen two-year-olds start to sleep for 13 hours overnight, and that means that now they don't actually need the nap during the day because they're getting all of the sleep that they need over the 24-hour period all in one shot. So two-year-olds typically need a two-hour nap and about 11 hours of sleep at night. So getting that 13 hours at night kind of captures all of it there. Another thing that will often happen with two-year-olds is they'll put them down for their nap and they're in there and they're talking and they're playing and not really falling asleep. And you go in because you're like, what is going on in here? And lo and behold, they pooped. And so this is sort of a little bit tricky because sometimes when you take them out and you change them, now they're like all excited, and putting them back in means that no nap is happening. But also at the same time, they're not going to go to sleep if they've pooped. So I do find that there can be some benefit in making sure your toddler has some downtime before they go into the crib for a nap. I know that in some cases we think, it's 1 o'clock, you got to go down for your nap, we got to get you down. But especially if you've had a really busy morning or you've just run in the door, they often just need a little bit of quiet time before they're ready to actually go down and take that nap. The way I sort of think of it is that some toddlers, they don't change gears all that well. So even if it means you're kind of running up against nap time, there's still some value in giving your child like 10 minutes to play before you're now saying, okay, it's time for your nap. And what can happen in that quiet time is when your child has that time to themselves, they might actually poop before you put them down for the nap. So there still can be some value in that. Absolutely, though, if you put your child down for a nap and they poop, when you know that, you go in there and you change them, I would be as boring as possible about it. I wouldn't make a big deal, and I would put them right back into their crib for the nap. I did want to just mention something. I've referred to your toddler, your two-year-old being in their crib a couple times here. It is really, really ideal if your child stays sleeping in a crib, if that's where they sleep, until they're ideally pretty close to 3 years old. Sometimes children will be in a bed at 2.5. Some 2.5-year-olds are ready. The hard part about putting your toddler in a bed before they're ready is that they are very limited on what's known as self-control. And self-control is that cognitive ability that helps your body be able to control itself. And what I always use as an example is if you don't trust your toddler to stay on the sidewalk, if you're walking down the street and they're not holding your hand, and you pretty much expect that they're just going to run out in traffic, then there's no reason to expect that your child is actually going to be able to control their body and keep it in bed when they're trying to go to sleep or in the middle of the night when the mood strikes them. So hopefully your child has not climbed out. Definitely listen to our episode. I'm pretty sure we have one about helping your child stay sleeping in their crib for a little bit longer. But honestly, this is often where I will encourage parents to look into getting a crib tent. Crib tents are designed to help children safely stay sleeping in their crib for a much longer period of time, and it will prevent them from climbing out. And this will make your life so much easier, because if they end up sleeping in a bed before they really have those cognitive skills, then it can make for a lot of sleep troubles. And I find that this is certainly a cause for a two-year-old sleep regression for sure. Another behavior that starts to happen more and more is what parents refer to as stalling. So your toddler has figured out that they can come up with all sorts of things that they need or want, and all of those things will start to push their bedtime later and later. I should add that there is about a 5-hour wake window between waking up from a nap and being ready to go to sleep at bedtime for children at 2 years old. That stretches 5.5 hours for a 2.5-year-old and 6 hours for a 3-year-old. So if your child is napping, which hopefully they are at this point, I would make sure that you're not attempting to put them to bed too early, because that can actually lead to, as I refer to it, just a longer period of shenanigans. And that's just because they're not really ready to go to sleep, so they will be more likely to stall until eventually they feel like they're ready. But even, sort of the nap and that awake window notwithstanding, toddlers are really amazing in their ability to come up with a million different reasons and things that they need to do before they can actually go to sleep. And I always tell parents that unbeknownst to you, your toddler went to the toddler conference this year, and at that conference, they learned all sorts of things that they could pull out of their hat in order to just put off bedtime as long as possible. And the reason I say they're at a conference is because I could list like 20 things off the top of my head that all toddlers come up with, and they're all the same. I mean, they all come up with the same stuff. And so you have to at some point imagine that they've all gotten together and discussed this somehow. And so the big things that come up is, I need this, something that, isn't in their room. Suddenly they need all sorts of items from various parts of the house. Book requests is definitely one of the ones that usually comes up. Again, read it again. one more book. And, you know, when they start doing this in the beginning, you don't really notice that these things are happening, but it starts to become a slippery slope. And next thing you know, you're reading 10 books and, you know, tucking in all their stuffed animals and putting all the hats back on the dolls and saying goodnight to all the cars and trucks on the street. And it gets really elaborate at some point. And so whenever I work with parents when their child is a baby, we talk about bedtime routine. We talk about keeping that bedtime routine pretty concise. And that's because as your child gets older, that routine tends to grow. And if you started from a place where it was a half an hour, 45 minutes, it can be really long, but easily a toddler bedtime routine can last 45 minutes. And so I usually encourage parents to try to scale it back, to try to set those limits. I guess I wouldn't say try. I would say I would do it. I would set those limits. And that means that, you know, when your child is asking for more books, first of all, prior to the last book, let them know this is the last book. Toddlers need to know what's happening. They want to be in the know. This is the last book. This is the last page. And even if your child is like, no, no, I need another book, more books, this is where it's so important not to cave. Because if you go back to any conversation that we've had here about intermittent reinforcement, if your child knows that they can push and push and push until eventually you give in, then that's going to lead to tantrums at bedtime when you are trying to set those limits. So being really firm about that, I know it feels mean, and I know sometimes those books are not that long, like, oh, what's the difference? I might as well read another book. But it really, really can start to become very extensive and last a long time. So starting to set those limits when they're even just starting to come up with these ideas can really pay off in the long run, because now your child knows what to expect and they know that you're going to follow through when you set those limits. One of the other things that often tends to come up for toddlers is they start calling you back multiple times after you've tucked them in at bedtime. So this is where I would definitely be really paying attention to those awake windows. Again, attempting to put them down too early can lead to longer and longer callbacks because they are just really not that tired. They're not ready to go to bed. And so what you're doing here is you're making sure that they're a little bit more ready to go to sleep and that you've also met all of their needs prior to going into the crib. So, you know, we've read our books, we've told our stories, we've sung our songs. Once your child goes into the crib, I have parents draw a very firm line. These are all the things that we do prior to going into your sleep space. After that, now we're not interacting, we're not engaging, and you're not trying to troubleshoot, because this is what happens, is that as parents, we become desperate and we think to ourselves, oh my God, we're so close, we're in the home stretch. What do I have to do in order to make this pain stop? So here comes the first callback. Mommy, I need water. Okay, here's some water. Okay, Mommy, my socks. Okay, here are your socks. All right, put your socks back on. Mommy, I need a story. Now you're going back in. Mommy, I need a hug. I mean, the list goes on and on. And so unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, I don't know how you want to think about it, but toddlers are not to be ignored. So you can't actually ignore these things. They tend to just be relentless and they have more stamina than we have and they'll just outlast us. And so you're not going to ignore this, like I said, but this is where you have to respond, but not respond by doing the thing that they want. And so sometimes it can be helpful to have just something sort of like a very boring, almost like mantra, you know, open the door. It's night night time. You need to go to sleep. If you're using like a hatch or a behavior modification light, your light's red. It's time to go to sleep. Even just a quick, you know, shush from outside the door so that you know that you've heard them, but you're not engaging with them. You're not doing the things that they want you to do, because now as that troubleshooting goes on, it just grows and grows. And essentially at some point, it's your child's decision as to when they're going to bed. And it's not actually their choice. This is your choice. This is your decision as a parent. You've put them to bed. You've done all of the things that need to happen. And now you're no longer engaging in the request or the conversation. This is a limit. Limits are hard in the beginning, but they're important. And if you're enforcing them, if you're setting those boundaries and you're enforcing those boundaries, your child will start to learn what that all means and the behavior will stop happening. The last thing I want to address is what happens when your child now starts to say, mommy, sit there. Or you try to leave the room and now all of a sudden they're screaming and they're crying. And you go back in, you say, okay, I'm going to stay right here. And this can be very useful. I mean, if you go back and listen to any of our episodes about sleep training methods and the value of being in the room with your child when they're going to sleep, there's a lot of benefit to this. And certainly it can be helpful. If your child also now has started to have a lot of new words and now they're telling you, mommy, sit there, you might think to yourself, oh, okay, well, that's helpful. Now I'm going to sit there. But now here you go. You're still sitting there a month, 2 months, a year later. And so this is where you can get very stuck in the room. So there are some pretty significant bursts of separation anxiety that can start to come up for children at this age. This is part of why they start to push back on you leaving the room. So if this is happening and you are in the room with your child, this is where you're going to need to extricate yourself, but you're going to need to probably do it in a pretty gradual way. And this is where I have families use that fading method where you're in the room next to them for 3 days, you're moving to the middle of the room for 3 days, you're moving by the door, and then eventually you're outside the door, and then you may be saying, I'm going to go do the dishes and I'm going to walk by and check on you. The idea is not that you're popping your head in or you're interacting with them, but you're just building trust that you're still going to be nearby. This can be very, very helpful as far as getting yourself out of the room. But what's really important about it is that when you're in the room, you're not doing something to make your child fall asleep. So for instance, you're not talking to them, you're not engaging with them, you're not answering questions, you're not patting their back, you're not holding their hand. All of those are going to be things that are going to make it hard for you to actually not be in the room, because if your child needs you to be doing those things, how can you not be there when they still are expecting you to do those things? And so you're going to need to gradually start to move yourself out. It is deliberate. It's not like an inch every day or so. It's I'm here, now I'm moving over here, now I'm moving over here. Your child knows that and can anticipate that. This also might be where you're having night wakenings, because if your child needs you in the room at bedtime, they might need you in the room in that same way in the middle of the night. And so you're going to have to move yourself out of the room in the same spot that you're at for the bedtime, again, in the middle of the night. And it would be the same thing in the early morning, which is almost always the last part of any night sleep problem to resolve itself. So I hope that that's been helpful for all of you parents of toddlers who are attempting to survive this somewhat challenging stage. Two-year-olds can be hilarious and they are learning a lot and they are taking in a lot of information, but they can also be particularly challenging. So these sorts of sleep struggles can start to come up. Thank you for joining in. And please don't forget to post your 5-star review for us so that everybody can see how much this podcast is benefiting everyone. Thank you.